This week on Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I talk about New Orleans, Upland, and we get ready for uppers and downers this weekend. All that and more on this week's episode.
Yeah, because, you know, you got a cork popped out, boom, and it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
The legend, Mr. Pete Crowley. I love Pete Crowley, man.
How's that beer? That's what you think it is.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this.
Raw, raw, raw!
Hey, welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Hey, I'm Nick White.
And we're back after our week off. yeah, it's good to be back. Back from New Orleans, back from the South.
Did you have fun down there, man?
I did. There's more than a Bita in New Orleans, okay. Louisiana now. There's a lot of breweries coming up. A great Raft messaged me on Instagram and told me to check out their stuff, and I was staring at one of their tap handles at one point, and I'm like, oh, all right, I'll try it, and that was good. So I kept trying to dive into the Bita, and every time I was disappointed.
Yeah, so the Purple Haze is the only one I know about. And I think they got a Strawberry Haze or something.
Yeah.
That's all I know from Bebida.
I think I had a Mardi Gras one.
A Mardi Gras one.
Bach. It was a Mardi Gras Bach, it was called.
Oh, so it was like a spiced Bach or something?
No, it was just a regular Bach.
Just a Bach.
Yeah.
They just couldn't call it Bach.
I guess not. So if you're new to Chicago Beer Pass, we don't just talk about going to New Orleans.
Mm.
We talk about Chicago drinking. We always kick off the show with some new local beer, or maybe cider, like we did on the previous episode.
Yeah.
But we got a beer from Middlebrow. This is their Minor Pursuit.
Yeah, so this is a dark-spiced grisette ale.
I don't know what a grisette ale is. Just a Belgian-style ale?
Yeah, I don't know what it is either. It's a Belgian with cinnamon and vanilla.
Oh, okay.
So they're canning. Apparently they're canning at down in Motorola, it says.
Right, because this was brewed for Middlebrow by Motorola.
That's cool. Motorola's getting into the contract game.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, good for them, man. Yeah.
It's kind of a weird beer.
Yeah. Head goes away really quick.
Mm-hmm. Because what'd you say? It was spiced with cinnamon and vanilla. So
yeah.
It feels bigger than it is because it's only a 5% beer. So
yeah.
It's kind of a weird beer. It's not an easy drinking beer. Kind of takes a little bit of effort. I don't know. How do you feel about Middlebrow?
I like that. It takes a little bit of effort. It
takes a little bit of effort to drink this one.
I know they had, I want to say they're the ones that had the beer that was modeled after the Keep It Copacetic. It was modeled after that, the corn dish, the elotes.
Mm.
So I know they had that. I think they're guys that just kind of got their homebrew start in Chicago. And now they're canning, which is cool.
Yeah, because we've had one of their beers on the show in the past, like one of the bottles or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is in 4-packs. Check them out. Yeah, they're doing like that plastic sheath thing too.
Yeah, it looks like a portion of the proceeds from this beer go to rape victim advocates. Yeah, and it's a really nice design on here too. It's like a just kind of a bleeding artsy wrap here.
Yeah.
I was going to say something else.
Cool. We'll sip on this as we talk about our past week and what we made it to here and outside of Chicago.
For sure.
I know I touched on a little bit of New Orleans there.
Yeah, so you're down in New Orleans, road tripping it up.
Flew into New Orleans, then road tripped over to Alabama. So.
Which is the original home of Mardi Gras is Alabama, they say.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Did not see any Mardi Gras parades. It was kind of starting as we were leaving. So
yeah,
that's it. That's, I think, why the tickets were so cheap. That it all was going down the week after we were leaving. So
yeah,
hit up some good breweries. Stopped at a few. I posted some pictures on the Facebook page. Fairhope Brewing in Alabama was pretty good. These breweries, though, these new ones, they like do like 30 different beers.
Oh, man.
And coming from a place like Chicago where it's like, you got to have one beer because you got to have enough of it to sell
right.
to everyone. And you go in there and you're like, I'll take, I guess, two flights because you have like 30 beers. I don't, like, what am I supposed to pick here?
That's a lot of beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was at like Fairhope and Beach City, not Beach City, but Beach Brewing in Gulf Shores, Alabama. So.
Okay. Of your entire travel, was there one brewery experience that was cooler than the rest, or was it all kind of same experience vibe for you?
Those were the only two breweries we went to. Didn't make it to any. Well, we went to one like brew pub in New Orleans that was not very good. That I don't even remember the name of.
You're like, let's leave here.
Yeah.
Especially the cocktails and the food were probably legit, though.
Yeah, the cocktails were real good. It takes some getting used to the idea, like, oh, we got to go to this other place. Hold on, let me finish my drink. Oh, wait, no, I'll just pour it into a glass and go.
It's not like at home.
Yeah.
And we can just walk out of this establishment with this glass, this hurricane.
I was like, oh, man, I got to slam this old fashioned. But then it's like weird because you're walking down the street with a plastic cup and it's old fashioned, or at one point where you get absinthe and you're drinking absinthe just on a plastic cup, where you lose like some experience of it all.
Yeah, absinthe, and it's like that. The presentation for me is weird if it's not the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
And so are the Moscow Mules the same way.
Yeah, I had a Moscow, I'm walking down the street in a plastic cup. See? Drinking a Moscow Mule.
It's like, not the same.
Yeah. So
just for those, yeah, for those two, for sure.
It's neat, but yeah, I like the experience of having it there and enjoying it, but walking around drinking, it's weird to get used to.
This sounds like my kind of town.
And you see people drinking at like 9 a.m. because this is what you do.
Yeah.
Because there's places that don't close. We went on this one tour and they said there's
oh, really?
There's bars in the French Quarter that have no doors. They never close. So even during Katrina, they didn't close because they don't have doors to close. That's cannot physically close their location.
New Orleans, man.
So that's just a crazy idea. That
I want to go, man. I got to make my way down to New Orleans.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. I would recommend it. I'd go back again, probably with a group of friends. I think I don't need to go just with Maeve again. Like, we had a good time. We did our thing there.
Yeah.
But now, like, if I went back, it would be, like, with other people with her, but, like, a bigger group, like, because that whole, like, going to Bourbon Street and just going out and just partying is kind of the draw, I think, of the city.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very cool.
How about you? What have you been up to?
Man, I went to a couple of events, man. I made my way over to Kaiser Studio, Michael Kaiser, Good Beer Hunting Studio. So there was a cider summit was last week.
Yeah.
Or maybe 2 weeks ago now. Right. He had a so there was a cider event there for Angry Orchard.
Okay.
Yeah, and I wanted to go because the Angry Orchard head cider maker, Ryan Burke, he's a local guy. You know, he came up in the homebrew circuit. You know, so like Juan Kim would throw these events, like the Brouhaha events, those underground events, and he had a crew called Second Story Brewing, and he used to make this Citra wheat wine that people would go nuts over.
Oh, damn! Okay.
So then Ryan left and went to Virtue, and now he's doing this thing. So I wanted to go check him out. You know, I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, how was it?
It was fun. It was like it sounds like, you know, how not Virtue, but Angry Orchard, they got that middle of the road kind of boring cider, right? Yeah. But this innovation house they built kind of for Ryan, right, to experiment with like old world styles of cider. And that's what they were showcasing.
Okay.
You know, so there was one, there was like a Wooden Sleeper, which was like a 12% apple wine. And then there's like Edu, which was like a tart, funky kind of Spanish style cider. You know, so they were like smaller batches and like a lot more nuanced than just that straightforward kind of, you know, delicious red apple flavor that you get from like the mainline ciders that they sell, you know.
Okay.
Basically, this was like a really, really small party. Oh, but people from all over the country were there because they were there for a cider summit.
Yeah.
So like, you know, you meet growers from like San Francisco and Portland, you know, and some New England guys. Dude, the New England guys were telling me that during Prohibition, in addition to, you know, you can't sell booze, they were going to orchards and taking, and they would kill all your apples.
What, the government was?
Yeah, yeah.
Because they didn't want people making cider.
Yeah,
because
some of these, you know, small heirloom, you know, varieties of apples, they're not, you can't consume them because they're too bitter, and they don't go, they're made specifically for hard cider.
Oh, okay.
So they were making them, like, get rid of all their crops as part of Prohibition. I never knew that.
Whoa.
Yeah, so that was an interesting story.
That's nuts, yeah. I saw an article recently about how like this warm weather we're having could affect the cider production because like not getting as much water and the trees and just like all this impact of climate here. Yeah.
So that was cool, man. Kaiser's doing uppers and downers again. Mm-hmm. Apparently, he's got uppers and downers in London and uppers and downers in Austin, Texas coming up.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I grabbed tickets. We'll probably mention it here in a little bit, but yeah. I grabbed tickets for the early session.
Right on.
Get my uppers going.
Dude, I'm all about uppers and downers. Yeah. Yeah. So that was good. Last time I was over there was he interviewed Brooklyn, Garrett Oliver from Brooklyn Brewing.
Oh, cool.
It was like a live podcast thing. So every once a year, I probably get over there.
Nice.
It's right in Logan.
Okay, yeah. Never been over to a space. Mm-hmm. Nice.
So that was cool. And then after that, I went down to Upland Brewing.
Oh.
Down in beautiful Bloomington, Illinois.
No.
Because there's a Bloomington, Illinois, too.
There is. Yeah, that's where the college is.
Yeah, and then 5 hours away is one in Indiana, where also a college is. Indiana University is down there. Yeah. And it's weird, man. It's like, I went down there for Upland. Upland's doing a launch of their sours in Chicago in 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
So we went down there to get a preview of the sours and then, you know, write some stories and get some momentum behind the launch coming up, basically, right?
Okay.
So Lakeshore Beverage put it together. We rode down there in a minivan with like two other crews.
Yeah.
And hung out for like a day, basically.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. So Upland is in Bloomington, which is a college town. But this is, other than that, like every stereotype you can think of like Southern Indiana is like on full display, like before you hit Bloomington. So we're going through this town called like Martinsville. And it's like, you know, gun store, you know, fireworks, you know, church, general store, you know, super. Like, I'm like, dude, why are we taking this way?
Yeah.
You know? When you get to Bloomington, though, it's like a straight up college town. It's okay. Pretty chill. Yeah. So apparently these guys have been around since 1998.
Okay. I was I didn't think they were part of that 88 crew.
Not part of, I got class 88 on my brain.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they were 1998. Oh, so in addition to the sours, their top selling beers are the wheat, which you love,
mm-hmm.
and the Dragonfly IPA.
Yeah, that's pretty solid.
So, and that's going neck and neck with a beer called Champagne Velvet.
I don't know if I've had that. What's that?
Champagne Velvet is a legacy brand that they bought from Miller Coors. So apparently in Terre Haute, Indiana, which is not far from where we were, this was like Champagne Velvet. It's a lager. It's like a Prohibition lager. And, dude, they said at one point they did 100,000 barrels a year of this stuff. It was in all 50 states at one point.
And Miller Coors was making it under that name, too?
Under that name, yeah. Huh. So they got with Miller Coors, they revamped it, and they bought it. Because they were like, man, we want this beer. We want it to taste the way it really tasted. That's what they were saying. I was trying to get the background on, like, how that conversation happened,
yeah.
You know, between them and Miller Coors, but nobody really knew.
That's kind of an interesting story.
But that was pretty cool. They've got these Italian fooders, man. That are like 37 barrels and then like 90 barrels. They're huge.
Damn.
They go straight to like a winery. And you know what they're doing, man? They're bridging the gap between like beer and wine with this stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, how'd you get started? He's like, dude, the largest winery, Oliver, the largest winery like east of the Mississippi is right in Indiana. So it was basically, you know, in the early days when all they were making was the IPA and the wheat, you know, they would go barter for some barrels, and that's how they started experimenting with it. And it basically grew from there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Huh. So it's a really cool story. I've been posting pictures all week. You should go check them out on the website.
Nice.
Yeah, nice stories. They got the original brew house got turned into a sour brew house. And now they have a full production facility with like 90 barrel tanks. Okay. They're making a lot of beer over there.
And there should be a story on Chicago Beer Geeks at some point here soon.
In like a week we're supposed to have it up.
Okay, so. Gotta get on that. So keep a lookout for that. I'm sure we'll share it on the Facebook page as well.
Yeah, so that's the plan. But I had absolute blast with these guys, man.
Nice.
Yeah.
Anything else in Chicago you make it to?
No, I think that was it.
After I came back, I made a stop over at On Tour.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, over near Goose Island. So I thought that this was the brewery on Fulton, right? That Fulton? No, like right on Fulton. Like, what's one more street towards Lake? There's a brewery opening there called like Great Brewery.
Great, Grand Central.
Grand Central Brewery.
Grand Central. There's the contract brewery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I thought that's where On Tour was.
No, but it's not.
This one's not open yet, or maybe it is, but then you can't go there.
Mm-hmm.
So, On Tour is a little farther down, over by Salvage One.
Really?
Yeah. So on Hubbard there.
There's like six breweries over there all of a sudden.
Right, yeah. So I made it there on Saturday. Yeah, Saturday. Biked over, sat at the bar. The space is really nice. Had a couple of their beers, both really good.
Yeah.
I only had like an hour, so I had to like slam two beers. I couldn't take it to go or anything.
Yeah. And what's their story? I think like On Tour's got something to do with like they used to be like in a band or something. It's kind of like a reference to that or something. I don't know.
I know nothing about the story. I know I went there and I drank their beers.
Yeah. Now, what was your impression of the beers? Because everybody I know likes them, but I haven't been.
Yeah, they were good. They weren't. I don't remember the name of them. I don't remember anything about them, but they were.
Brad just walking around with a cloud over his head, just in a haze.
But they were good, and I was like, "Oh, I like those. I will go back." Mm-hmm. But neither one of the two I had were so good that I'm like,
"You just had to have another one."
Yeah.
Okay.
Or I need to tell everyone that you have to have this blah 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 from On Tour, but they were good.
Right on. So. Yeah, and a chance to do something different.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of curious about as well. Okay.
But they had quite a few beers for being just opening, what, month, 2 months ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. They have weird hours, so if you're looking to get there, they, like, I think close at, like, 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock or something. Something pretty early for a bar.
Because it probably gets weird over there, you know?
Well, there's nothing there, right?
It's, like, industrial. It's kind of dark.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
I think they had talked about being open, like, a couple hours before the Goose Island pub opens and an hour after or something. So,
you can just do your thing and hop.
You can kind of do both of them.
I like that. That's how a lot of spots in Denver are like that, where the whole neighborhood just kind of comes together, like Rhino in particular. It's River North. They call River North Rhino. We call it River North in Chicago. Oh, because I think it's shaped like a rhino on the map.
Oh.
Oh, but yeah, you go to that neighborhood and they all kind of work together. So that the whole point is you to come to that neighborhood and spend your whole day and kind of hop, brewery, brew.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. Nice. So, yeah, check out On Tour. I'll probably make it back there again soon because it's not really that far from my house.
Okay.
That's been it for my drinking the last, like, week or so. Probably more that I don't remember as well.
That's right, yeah. I feel like if I don't take pictures of something that I did, it slips my mind that I did it.
For sure, you know? But yeah, we should get into some of the events coming up this week that you should be checking out.
Yeah, let's dive into it, man. So let's start with Wednesday up at Fountainhead. So, I mean, the weather's going to be 69 degrees tomorrow, so we forget that we're still in the middle of winter.
Yeah, it's February, yeah.
It might get dark. Number 7 is happening up at Fountainhead, so that's their all-dark tap list. That's on Wednesday night. Then the following...
So just stouts or like...
Yeah, stouts, sours, sorry.
This is a weird, like, all, like, are they turning off the lights?
No,
are
they're not, like... they're not turning off the lights.
They're all hand poured. They're, you know,
It might get dark. Typically refers to like, stouts clearly, but then porters. And then, but sometimes sours too. And then like on like black IPAs, that kind of thing.
This would qualify,
right? The Grisette Ale. Might get dark. What is a Grisette Ale? We still haven't figured that out.
Well, we think it's some sort of Belgian style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Grisette Ale, and that's at Fountainhead, and that's going to be, it's a working class ale.
Oh, cool. Okay.
There you go. Working class farmhouse ale.
The Grisette?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there you go. So it's an actually thing. I thought they were just like.
No, I thought it was a thing.
I didn't know it was a thing. I'm like,
they made it up.
I thought they made it up. Yeah, I didn't
have that Brad ale.
I thought it was like dedicated to, you know, Grisette, you know. So It Might Get Dark, number 7 is this week. And then also the next day, Thursday, Farmhouse Chicago is doing an event. They got a new series called Brewers and Bites. So this is volume 1. So this is a $50 ticket. You'll get 6 beer samples and hors d'oeuvres.
Mm.
Spiteful, Forbidden Root, and Winer are the featured breweries.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. So that's cool. What is that? Thursday the 23rd. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of events this weekend, man. The Naperville Ale Fest.
That's right.
The winter one's coming up. That's a Saturday from noon to 4 out in Naperville.
Sort of winter. I think, didn't Josh say he has like these of a tent and all this stuff because it's cold? Like, I'm sure that he's probably scrambling to try to figure out, like, what do we do now? It's super warm.
Yeah, I wish the Guild event was this weekend. I wonder if anybody went to it, you know. The winter one up in Rosemont.
Yeah, someone on our Twitter tagged us in it and said they were going. I didn't hear anything about it. So.
Yeah, same here. So Naperville Ale Fest is Saturday. Of course, we talked about Uppers and Downers. I believe that's also Saturday.
Yeah, so I'm going to the 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's over at Talia Hall. tickets are $60 each, so kind of pricey, I'd say, for what, 3 hours?
Right. That's a dope venue too. That's actually on the Illinois Register for Historic Landmarks, that building.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
So you'll get coffee and beer at this event. So I'm kind of interested to see. I'm kind of more interested just to try some of the coffee stuff that's going on.
Yeah, because I know some of those coffee folks are coming in from out of town, you know. Mm-hmm. That ought to be a good party.
Yeah.
Also, this weekend on Sunday is Darkside at Emporium. So Darkside is a beer event where you get tokens at the door, and then it's another event where that features all dark beers. Mm-hmm. You know, this one leans heavy on the styles. It's actually a pretty good lineup for the 5th anniversary of Darkside. So it looks like, just to name a few, Sump and Abraxas.
Sump? Wait.
Yeah, Sump is the imperial stout that uses Sump coffee. Okay. It's an imperial coffee stout from Perennial that uses Sump coffee. And then Abraxas, which is like their Mexican hot chocolate stout. Really good. Abraxas is really good. Yeah. Let's see. Peanut Butter Victory at Sea from Ballast Point.
That's pretty tasty. I had that.
You had that? Coffee Dino S'mores, just to name a few. Yeah, this looks pretty good. 18th Street's bringing their blood.
And this is
prop.
Chicago hardcore.
Yeah, Chris Jacobson, Chicago hardcore craft beer. Yeah. He also does, he's also got a brewery.
That's right, yeah.
Remember that the name of his beer escapes me. It was Antithesis.
Oh, yes, that's right. I haven't heard anything about that recently. No,
because he came out and he brought the Dewar, which was like a barrel-aged stout, but it was like 6 months in a barrel.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that is also this weekend.
That's on Saturday?
Yeah, that's in Port Wicker Park, so that's a $30 ticket. It gives you 8 beer samples. It ends up being about 40 ounces of beer. For the 30, and plus you get like 8 game tokens as well.
But you can go and just drink.
You can just show up and drink like carte blanche, I think, at this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe. I hope so, yeah.
There might be like a ticket at a time.
Yeah.
And then you can show up and kind of drink one or two afterwards if you don't want to do that. Because I bet they don't get rid of all these beers that quickly.
Yeah, because this is a ton of beer. They know they've got about 25, 30 taps over there. I'm curious about the Surly Rye Barrel Aged Darkness that's going to be there.
Ooh, okay.
Curious. A lot of good offerings on that list. So
nice.
Yeah. Right on. That's actually all I got for events this week.
Isn't there a Monday event at the Max?
Oh yeah, we forgot about the Max. So it's Save to the Max, the Ode to Save by the Bell pop up diner spot in Wicker Park is coming to an end, man. It's a pop up. I know they extended it, you know, from like 3 months to 6 months, but now it's finally coming to an end.
Okay.
So Greg Hall and the good folks at he's with Virtue now, but Greg Hall is a brewing legend here in Chicago. He was at Goose Island from its inception. They're gonna have a beer dinner there.
Okay.
At this place. They're calling it the Throwback Tasting and Discussion with Greg Hall. So they're gonna have a couple of Virtue ciders, and then 5 Goose beers, including Bourbon County Vanilla from 2014.
Whoa. Okay.
That one was vanilla rye. And then also the Class of 88 collaboration they did with the Chutes.
Okay.
Which I believe was like, I want to say it was 2 separate beers.
Okay. I remember seeing the bottle. I don't remember if I had that beer or not.
Yeah. I had it the night. They had an event for it. I had it that night. And I think like at the time, Brett Porter's interpretation was a little bit different. They basically used the same barrel and the same grapes. And then the recipes for the beer was a little different if you got the Goose versus the Deschutes version.
Okay.
Yeah. So the chef's whipping up like all sorts of eats to pair with all these nice. Goose
so it's
beers.
It's the different menu than the normal, what they usually had.
Yeah, he's making food just for this event. Oh. I mean, he's making dishes just for this event.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah.
Nice. So this is a ticketed event you can grab a ticket for?
Yeah, this is a $40 ticket, and it sounds like it's the last event before Save by the Max goes away.
Excellent.
I wonder what's going to go there next. They should just...
They probably go away for a minute, so people are like, oh, I didn't go, and then it comes back.
I feel like if the Save to the Max guys had any sense, they'd probably go to another city. You know, build up your buzz and just, like, travel it around.
Or they'll make it, like, the Friends Coffee Shop now. Like, just kind of...
Just roll with the theme. Yeah. It looks cool, man. Everybody remembers that show, you know? A.C. Slater, man, with that weird curly hair down his shoulders. It always, with no shirt on.
So right those on. Are the events this week. Yeah. Any sort of beer news happening?
Yeah, we got a little bit of beer news. Let's see. The good folks at Half Acre are putting a Double Daisy Cutter in cans this time around. Yeah, that's going to be March 3rd. They are also hooking up with Mindful Distribution in San Francisco. They're going to distribute to San Fran.
Whoa, that's big. That means they got to be ramping up a lot of production.
Yeah, because, dude, San Francisco is like the fifth largest market in the country.
Yeah.
You know, that whole San Francisco, Oakland Bay Area, that's a huge market. Yeah. Just wanted to say cheers to the Chicago Athletic Association. I made my way out there again this week. Last time. It was like a cocktail.
You have like a membership now? You're like in the club?
I love this place, man. So on the first floor, they got this space called The Tank. It's an old indoor swimming pool, you know. And they hooked up with the guys from Land and Sea. That's the crew behind like Lost Lake and, you know, Three Dots and a Dash, that crew. Yeah. And they're the ones that, you know, revamped the whole place. But there was a tequila event there.
Okay.
Yeah, Tequila Herradura cocktail competition. So it was like a winner take all. You know, the bartender gets a trip to Mexico if he wins his cocktail competition.
Damn, okay.
So this was just like Monday night debauchery. Super fucking fun. Oh, but the space, their Chicago Athletic Hotel is nice. I went up to Cindy's, the rooftop.
Yeah.
Spent way too much on cocktails. That
place is too expensive.
Dude, even like, you know, IPA from Salamotas, like $9, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, Salamotas is in Naperville, man.
When I see people eating there, I'm like, who are you? And I need to be friends with you.
Yeah, but it's a little pricey. But I had a good time there. I just wanted to shout them out. Empirical up in Edgewater. It looks like they're moving to Rogers Park.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so Main Stage is in Rogers Park. Now, Main Stage is like a live music venue. It's a restaurant and a bar, and they do concerts and shit there. So they're moving into that space.
But Empirical just, they built out this tap room and everything.
Yeah, so do they keep both?
I don't know. Or is someone coming in there?
Yeah, maybe you'll see the return of one of these brands that went away, you know?
I don't know.
We shall see. So BrewDog, the folks over from, I want to say they're from Scotland.
Yeah.
The BrewDog folks. They got that cool show on TV.
Is it still on?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I've only seen the Chicago one.
Yeah, the one where they were at Rev. They made the St. Patty's Day green beer.
That's the only episode I've seen of this show. Yeah.
I think that's the last time I watched it. Oh, they're opening their first bar stateside in Columbus, Ohio. So it's supposed to open this spring, and it's the largest of all their bars. So they got this concept where they're a Scotland brewery, but they have tap rooms like all over the world. They got like 8 bars all over the world. This is the first one in the U.S., and this is apparently like the largest one.
Okay.
Yeah. Tapster, which is a pour-your-own-beer bar, is opening in Wicker Park this weekend.
Oh, where at?
Let's see. I knew you were going to ask me that.
Oh, you didn't know?
I don't know. Somewhere in Wicker Park.
Maybe I'll have to go check that out.
Yeah. They're going to have 62 taps. Also, kegged cocktails at that place.
Oh, interesting. I don't like the idea. I want to see it, but I don't like it.
Yeah, I went to one out in Indiana, like over the winter, and it's cool. It's called, that one was called Beer Fest.
Okay.
Out in Griffith, Indiana. Like the town over from Munster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to say, this idea fails. It will. This place will shut down.
They got to, Brad, with the bold predictions. That you got to, after 32 ounces, they give you a card. After 32 ounces, your card cuts off, and then the staff evaluates you to make sure you're okay to keep drinking.
Yeah, see, that's a problem for a place like Wicker Park that is basically a Wrigleyville 2.0 now.
This is Wrigleyville South, basically.
So
yeah,
you're kind of like, why'd you stop me from drinking, bro?
Yeah, bruh, let me talk to your manager and turn this fucking card back on, bruh. Yeah. Yeah, pretty much, right? So that's opening this weekend. There's supposed to be 2 of those. Another one's opening up in Logan soon, allegedly. We talked about this Walmart fake brewery.
Yeah, right? Like, I called this shit. You called
it. I was in the car, and I was like, man, Brad's going to trip because he said this shit was fake from day one. So apparently Walmart is potentially going to get sued because they've been selling beer under Troublesome Brewery. And then you look into Troublesome, and their papers are lead back to Costa Rica, WX Brands, right?
Yeah.
At a facility that doesn't fall under craft guidelines at all, you know, because craft breweries have specific guidelines, you know, about size and ownership and all that jazz. And apparently Walmart's going to get sued because they sold beer as Trouble Brewing, and Trouble Brewing is not a real brewery.
Yeah, I got to find the episode.
I thought about that on the way in. I'm like, I wonder what episode number that was. Because, well, Brad, like, out from the door. Well, the problem was we knew that we didn't know a brewery that had the scale that could, 50 Walmarts and fill them with beer.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know a brewery that has that kind of room.
That's a huge brewery. That's a massive brewery.
And if they got that room, guess what? They're like Sam Adams. They're making their own fucking beer. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
So, I got to go back. I got to find the date that this thing was kind of announced. And whatever it is, it's probably around that. And I got to pull that episode. And
it's hilarious, man. I'm like, Brad called it.
Trying to pull one over on me. No.
Yeah. So... Hopleaf turned 25 last week.
Okay.
Yeah, nice. 1992. They did a cool little thing where they had throwback prices too. So you go in there and get a Bell's Brown Ale for like $2.50.
Whoa.
Whatever the price was when they opened. That was pretty cool. Couple brewery launches. We talked about Upland opening on the 28th in Chicago with their sours. Also, a Blue Point from.
They're not opening. They're entering the market with the sours.
Yeah, they're entering their market with the sours in Chicago for the first time ever. Mm-hmm. They've never had a Chicago. They're going to Boston. After this, too.
Okay. Because they've had their regular beers here.
Yeah, their regular beers have been here. They didn't have the room. I mean, they didn't have capacity to sell their sours on scale like this. I wonder how that's going to turn out. That ought to be fun. I'm excited for them. They got events all that week, too.
Okay.
Blue Point, apparently, is launching in Chicago the exact same week. Blue Point is the East Coast brewery that
AB owns.
That AB purchased. Okay. Yeah. So they're launching in Chicago. It looks like all their beers are like, I don't know, there's a seaweed IPA, plum goes, and a New York oyster stout to kick things off. I don't know what their story is, Blue Point. I know they're in Long Island,
Basically, AB owns them now, so, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see what that's about. Oh, speaking of oyster stouts, Upland, they had an oyster stout. It's an oyster stout, but they called it an aphrodisiac stout.
Okay.
And they named it Carpet Burn. And they were talking about, because in the middle of the Upland visit, there was like this 5-course, sour beer dinner in the sour brewery. And it was one of the conversations about how do you name beers and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And this, they were like, man, we made a misstep with that one. But for some reason, we launched a beer called it Carpet Burn. I'm like, you guys are nuts.
That's crazy.
That's
funny.
Yeah. And, lastly in news, Friday is Firkin Fridays now at Hub 51.
Okay.
Yeah. So every week they're going to feature a new Chicago brewery. This week, you'll get a Firkin of Troublesome from Off Color Brewing.
Okay. I know Half Baker does a lot of Firkins.
Yeah. At their tap room.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And then Small Bar was a big proponent of Firkins. And, then we also have Owen and Engine. But, that, like we were saying earlier, like the sour, less sours, there's less Firkins. Like that became not a thing people were after. I think there became so much beer that the Firkins were a way to try these one-off things.
Right. I know Night Living Ales is basically a Firkin fest.
Yeah.
And I like Firkins from a sense that you can get like a version of your beer, like a variant of it.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And then, the whole Firkin thing, if you do it properly, it's like it's conditioned differently. The temperature is different on it, and you get some fun flavors out of it, like mm-hmm. the old world English style of doing it.
And then I saw a story. One more thing.
Yeah.
I didn't click on it. I have it to read, but Barnaby stepped down at Floyd's.
So Barnaby's not at Floyd's anymore.
Yeah.
He's actually the only one from Floyd's. Like, I mean, I eventually end up meeting Nick Floyd, but prior to that, when you see Floyd's staff members, the only one you'd see is Barnaby.
Yeah.
Like, there was a beer bloggers conference in Indianapolis, like Randy Mosier, Garrett Oliver, and Barnaby was there from Floyd's repping their beers, you know? And he was, like, just super personable,
So I don't know what this means for Three Floyds.
But, when you look at, they had that shakeup up at Surly, and all of a sudden Surly's head brewer left because they fired Todd's wife, who was, like, running hospitality over there. And then Floyd's hired both of them.
Yeah.
So maybe there's some overlap there.
Maybe Barnaby was just ready to cash out.
Yeah, or that.
Then I did this. I just needed to chill for a minute.
After a while. Yeah, I remember who was their lead sales guy was Lincoln. Lincoln Anderson. Yeah, he ended up leaving after a while. Mm-hmm. Because I guess, I don't know, you get to a point where it's like, hey, how many times are you going to tell people, I can't give you beer?
Yeah.
I
don't have any more zombie dust. I don't know. All right. Well, that does it for this week's episode. I think we kept it fairly short considering we skipped a week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not too bad.
Solid.
Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not here recording.
Right on, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRad. Chicago Beer Pass is on Twitter at Chicago Beer Pass. But I think the best place to kind of keep up with our day-to-day drinking is our Facebook page, / Chicago Beer Pass. Nick and I are both posting photos, sharing articles there, and so probably the best place to keep up.
It's rolling. I like the other formats, but Facebook seems to work
for
the show.
Because all these breweries and bars share events there, so we can quickly, easily share them there as well.
For sure.
But then the website, chicagobeerpass.com, all the episodes are posted there, links to iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube. Yeah. And we'll be back next week with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.